such a blessing. Thank you so much. Would you go to the book of 1 Peter and the second chapter? I will begin here, and I will make my way back to the book of Exodus, chapter 28, as we sort of pick up this evening where we left off this morning, speaking about Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons. And I'm going to read a couple of verses here from 1 Peter, the second chapter, after I lead us in prayer. Lord, look on us sinners this evening with mercy. Behold our neediness. And oh God, we come to you. Thou art the helper of the helpless. You are the one who is full of grace, full of mercy, and full of pity. We dare to come before your throne, remembering that it is a throne of justice, certainly, and it is also a throne of grace. And grace reigns, Father, we read, through righteousness. Our Lord Jesus is our only plea, and it is through his sacrifice that we come, O great God, before you tonight. We want to worship and adore and make our boasts in the Lord. We'd like to magnify your name. And Lord, we would be very pleased if you would enable us to stress that message that brings you great delight, which is the message of your Son's successful work of redemption. It is with his work you're pleased. It is with his very person that you're pleased. And so, Lord, we shall arrange our thoughts, God willing, if the Spirit of God will help us, in such a manner that we magnify that one who is so dear to you, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that his sacrifice was indeed a sweet savor unto God. Nothing else is a sweet savor to you except that substitutionary, justice-satisfying death of your only begotten Son. There is no subject that we could raise or speak of when we stand behind this pulpit that will give you the kind of honor and glory that you're worthy of, save the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so help us this evening, Father, help the preacher and the hearer, that we might focus our hearts and our attentions upon the Lord Jesus, the successful Savior. Lord, bless those who are watching by way of the internet. These who are unseen to us and yet fully seen by you in your omniscience. And Lord, speak to precious souls tonight, both by way of the internet and to these who are gathered before us. And may the Word of God come to us in power and in much assurance through the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we are so grateful for His death on the behalf of the guilty. In Him we live, and in Him we move, and in Him we have our spiritual being. He is indeed all and all to us, and we are complete in Him. So, Spirit of God, take the things of our Lord Jesus and show them unto us. These things we ask for the Savior's sake. Amen. Well, as we open our Bibles here to 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to draw your attention to verses 8, 9, or 7, 8, and 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7, 8, and 9. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Do you believe? A simple question. It's all of your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Is He your only hope of glory? Is He your righteousness? His bloody death upon the cross of Calvary, your only hope? Well, if God the Spirit has taught you the gospel, He is precious to you. But there are some folks He isn't precious to. Unto them which be disobedient, that is, disobedient to the gospel, disobedient to God's command to believe on the Son of God, unto them which be disobedient, He's the stone which the builders disallowed. The same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even of them which stumble at His word, being disobedient. And then Peter puts this in by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He says, whereunto also they were appointed. Peter is one who believed in the divine appointment of all things, that God has ordered all things. His will is sovereign. He deals with all men, women, and children according to His perfect purpose and His will. There are many who are appointed to just, well, they stumble at the word of the gospel. They have no interest. God has willed to leave them in their sins and not deal with them in grace. I hope that isn't true of anybody who's here this evening or anybody who's watching. And I call upon all of you, seek our God, seek the Lord. He's ever near to those who need Him. And if you need Him, you need the Savior, you need His salvation, well, you call upon Him. But it says in verse number 9, here's another group of people. These are the ones to whom the Lord Jesus is made precious. But you, He leaves these that God has appointed to stumble at the word of the gospel. He leaves them behind. He has no more to say about them now. And now He speaks to those who find the Savior very precious. But you who believe on the Son of God, you're a chosen generation. You didn't do anything to get your salvation. God chose you unto salvation. The Lord Jesus has worked out that salvation for you. And the evidence of that is that you're a believer, that you find His gospel precious. You're a chosen generation. You're a chosen family. We're the family of God. I know a lot of times the brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus don't act much like family, but we are. We are family. We're the family of God. Born of God, born of His Spirit, born of the same incorruptible Word. We're a chosen offspring of God. And He says we're a royal priesthood. We're a kingdom of priests. We're royalty. We have been lifted up from the dunghill. God has set us among royalty. Now are we the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I know what we are by nature. But oh, bless His name, let us rejoice in what we are by grace. A royal priesthood. We have access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're royalty, we're kings. He's made us kings and priests unto God. We're a holy nation. And our holiness is Him who is seated at the right hand of God right now. We're a holy nation. And we are a peculiar people. That doesn't mean we're a bunch of oddballs, although in the eyes of the world, we are odd. But what this means is we're a purchased people. We're a bought people. Our Lord Jesus has bought us with His own blood. He's done all of this that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past, I'll read verse 10, were not a people but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I like what one writer says about that word obtained. It was forced on us. It was forced on us. We obtained mercy. We weren't looking for mercy. We didn't long for mercy. Didn't even know we needed mercy. But God, in His sovereign, effectual work of grace, He forced it upon us. And then we willingly were glad to get it. Ah, the precious mercy, saving mercy of God. Here's what we see. The salvation of sinners is based on God only. It's based on God's choice. The Lord chose, before He ever made this world, a people unto Himself, all to the praise of the glory of His grace. And this is illustrated for us in many ways. This sovereign choice of God is illustrated in many ways throughout the Scriptures. And one of the most well-known ways is that He chose a people, a nation, that would be His people, to whom He would give the tabernacle, to whom He would give His law, and through whom He would send His Son. And that nation being the nation of Israel. Of all of the nations of this earth, God chose one nation. That's His sovereign right. I don't hear too many people fussing about that. When they fuss about God's sovereign choice of some people unto salvation, they don't have a big problem. Don't seem to have any problem with God's choice of Israel. But think of it. All the other nations of the world God rejected. And He chose one nation. Not because they were the largest nation. In fact, they were a little nation. Just a little nation. You say, well, they were better than other nations. God called Abraham out of heathenism and out of idolatry from Ur of the Chaldees. The roots of Abraham were sunk down deep into heathen idolatry and false religion. And God said, I choose you. And God pulled him out. Just like he did you. Pulled him out of false religion and drew him unto himself. Why did God choose Israel? Because he would. There's no other reason to be found. They weren't the best nation. They did as bad as anybody else. Why did God choose you? Make no mistake about it. If you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is your all in all, the only reason you have faith in the Son of God is because before God made this world, He ordained that you'd be one of His children. He chose you. And that is an everlasting election. You've always been His child. You've always been the object of His love. You've always been the object of His grace. And He's always looked on you in His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all of the Lord. God chose Israel because He would. And God made a promise to Abraham. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. In your seed, not seeds as in many, but seed as in one. Think of this. God ordained that His only begotten darling Son, who's been with Him from eternity, God ordained that He would take up His residence in a body likened unto the bodies of the people that He'd come to save. This chosen generation, He's going to be made like unto us. This is the Son of God. And this is the promise God gave to Abraham. A seed is coming through you. That's the Son of God. Now we know that Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. The Lord was pleased to give to Jacob 12 sons. And then the nation of Israel consisted of 12 tribes, 12 families, we would call them. And this according to God's pleasure. And they fell into bondage in Egypt. But they were still the people God chose for Himself. Just like God chose us unto salvation before the world began, but we fell into slavery. We fell into servitude to sin and to Satan. But as God would not leave Israel in Egyptian bondage, He's not going to leave us in our bondage either. Well, what did He do with that chosen nation? He redeemed them. That's what He did. And how did He redeem them? By, first of all, price and by power. And so God has redeemed, He has redeemed the people of His everlasting choice unto salvation. He's redeemed us by a price. That's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the substitution right there. The innocent dying for the guilty. There's satisfaction. Our Lord Jesus satisfied the justice of God by dying in the stead of the guilty. And then He redeems us by His power. And just as He extracted Israel from Egyptian bondage, He pulls us out of by sovereign, irresistible might. He pulls us out of the grasp of Satan. Out of the grasp of that old evil one. He takes us unto Himself. He liberates us by His own mighty sovereign power and grace. And so Israel comes out of their bondage. They go through the Red Sea. They get to the mountain called Sinai. And then God said, in essence, I'm going to show you my sovereignty again. I choose one man to be the high priest of Israel. He had already exercised his choice in choosing Moses to be his spokesman, his prophet. God watched over him. Moses was a chosen vessel when he's just a wee little baby. And all of you Sunday school teachers have taught this. And his mother put him in a little cradle, in a vessel, an ark of bulrushes. Set him among the reeds. And Miriam, his older sister, she kept lookout. God was watching over that deliverer. He was God's choice. Well, there were a lot of other men in Israel. Yes, there were. There sure were. And why Moses? God's sovereign choice. You see, as you study the Word of God, you're confronted continually with this fact that God uses whom He will. He saves whom He will. He calls whom He will. And He, whatever purpose He's created somebody for, they will serve that purpose. Even the wicked. For this same purpose, God said through the lips of Moses to Pharaoh, for this same purpose, I raised you up. You mean God put an ungodly, blasphemous, idolatrous man on the throne of Egypt? That's what he said. Well, what was the reason God lifted him up so high? He's the most powerful man in all the world. And make no mistake about it, God made him that powerful man. God said, I did it. I'm going to show my power. Because that man who's exalted, it seems, above all men, I'm going to bring him down. How low? All the way to hell. That's how low. The sovereign choice of God. He chose Moses, and he chose Aaron, Moses' older brother, by 3 years, to be the high priest of Israel. And God said He'd use one family. He'd use one family in this ministry of spiritual things for Israel. He'd use the tribe of Levi. And nothing special about Levi. In fact, he was, of course, we've been studying on Wednesday night, the sons of Jacob. He was the third son of Jacob by Leah. And he wouldn't have been the man that you and I would have selected. Levi, that's not the one we would have selected to be the tribe that would have the priesthood and the care of the tabernacle. Because he and his brother Simeon, and remember Levi's name means join together. He and his brother Simeon joined together to commit murder. Their sister Dinah, she got raped. And the man who raped her, he then fell in love with her. He said, I want to marry her. Told his daddy, he said, that's the woman for me right there. And so his daddy, Hamar, he goes and sees Jacob. He said, my son loves your daughter. Well, Jacob said, well, he defiled her. And I know. But they love each other. They want to get married. Jacob said, well, let me bring my sons in here. And got the sons together and said, boys, what do you think? I said, well, you know, we'll go along with it if all of the men of this city, this heathen city, of which Shechem was a citizen. Shechem was the guy who raped Dinah. We'll go along with this. We'll intermarry if all the men of the Hivites will be circumcised. And so Hamar said, well, let me go talk this over with Shechem. And they talked it over and they said, well, you know, if we start intermarrying, you know, their cattle will become our cattle. Their sheep, their flocks will become part of our flocks. This will enrich us. This will be in our best interest. That's the way most people make decisions, isn't it? Based upon their own best interest. So they went back and said, it's a deal. Jacob said, okay, all of you got to be circumcised. They said, well, let's just do it today. Let's get the surgeries over today. Okay. So they circumcised all the men of the city. And one day, 2 days, 3 days go by. And the men of the city are getting over surgery. Okay. And they're sore. And Levi and his brother Simeon, they both of them got their swords. And they went into that city. They killed Shechem. They killed his daddy. They killed every man in that city. And then the rest of the sons of Jacob, they came in. They went through. They plundered the city. They took everything that was of any value. And in Genesis chapter 49, here's what Jacob said of Levi and Simeon. You're instruments of cruelty. I wouldn't have chose his tribe to be the tribe to lead in the religious services of Israel. Not the tribe of Levi. But you see, your thoughts aren't God's thoughts. Your ways not God's ways. Hey, who would have ever thought that you would be chosen by God to be a recipient of His grace? Who would have ever thought that? You? You? Who are rotten to the core in your heart? Could it be that you're an object of everlasting love, everlasting grace? You? Me? Not Him. Oh, yes. I tell you, God's choices always amaze us. And the most astounding choice of all is that when you realize He chose you. And you ask, why did He choose me? Well, there is no good reason in you. And the only reason is to be found in the heart of God. He chose you unto salvation for His glory because He would. And you leave it there. And if you go searching for some kind of reason, you go meet in trouble. Because there's no reason to be found in you why God would choose you. It's just because He would. And God, from that tribe of Levi, He chose a family. He chose a man. Go back to Exodus chapter 28. And God said, this is my man. This is my man right here. This is my man for the high priesthood. And these are my men that I will use in the priesthood. chapter Exodus 28, verse 1, and take thou unto thee. This is God calling Moses. You take, you fetch, you call effectually. You lay hold of Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel. Out of all the children of Israel, out of all the tribe of Levi, God said, Aaron's my choice, and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. God's sovereign choice. He chooses who he's going to use. Now, the very thought of the priesthood awakened in the hearts of the Israelites feelings of profound thanksgiving. Oh, thank God for his grace that we have one, Aaron the high priest, who will represent us to God. That's what the people of God wanted. Somebody to represent us to God. I can't come into the presence of God. Now, up until this time, and I said this morning, the heads of households were the priests. The head of the household acted as the priest of the family, leading in worship, offering sacrifices to God. Then they went into Egyptian bondage, and God brought them out. They're now at the foot of Mount Sinai. And now God's going to implement this way of approaching him by a man. This is wonderful. A man chosen from among men. And I'll tell you, Aaron pictured our Lord Jesus. Psalm 89, God said, I've chosen one out of the people. Our Lord Jesus. One of the people. Oh, he's the Son of God, but he's likened to us, made likened to us, the Scripture says. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's somebody who's going to go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and he will there represent God's people. And the Israelites said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They could never go in there. They couldn't even look in there. They couldn't even get in the holy place. But there's a man God has appointed who's going to go in and offer the sacrifice unto God that will put away the sins of Israel, cover them for a year. Now, of course, Aaron, before he could do anything for the people, all he had to offer a sacrifice for himself. Because he's a sinful man. And so he did that. And then he offered a sacrifice for the people of God. Hold your place here and turn to Hebrews chapter 7, if you would. Hebrews chapter 7. Let me read you a few verses here from Hebrews chapter 7. Look at verse 19. For the law, and I know a lot of people, they divide the law into the moral law and the Levitical or ceremonial law. Don't do that. It's just God's law. And most people who do that, they do it for this purpose, so they can hang on to the Sabbath. So they can still have a Sabbath day observance. Now listen, we're free from the law. Okay? Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled. There's remission. For the law made nothing perfect. It didn't bring anything to perfection. It didn't bring anything to completion. It didn't accomplish righteousness. It didn't really satisfy the justice of God. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Key word in Hebrews, of course, is the word better. By the which we draw nigh unto God, by this better hope. The better hope is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And insomuch as not without an oath, He was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by Him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Our Lord Jesus wasn't of the tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of Judah. He is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, an everlasting priesthood. Verse 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, a better covenant. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Aaron died. God took him up on the mountain. Moses went with him. Went with Aaron. Stripped him of his high priestly garments. And gave it to another son. Aaron couldn't remain high priest. He died. And all the other priests died. They couldn't continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, he's suitable to us. That's what the word became us means. He's suitable to us. He's just the kind of high priest we need. It's like for Israel, they bless the name of God, they would say. God gave us a man to represent us. Well, bless the name of God, He gave us a man to represent us, but He's more than a man, He's the God-man. Perfect in every way. He became us, He's suitable to us, suitable to God, suitable to us. Holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Watch this. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. But the law maketh men high priests which have an infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated for evermore. We have a high priest. And Aaron, he was the high priest of Israel. Let me give you a few things here. I'm going to skip over some of my notes here. There's a significance in the name of Aaron. Let me give this to you quickly. His name has different shades of meaning, all of which direct our attention to our Savior, who is our great high priest. First of all, his name means bright, bright and shining, or light bringer. That's what Aaron's name means, light bringer. Let me ask you this. Where were we when the Lord came to deal with us? Well, we were in the dark. We were in spiritual darkness. And darkness in the Bible, it pictures ignorance and wickedness and error, religious superstition, spiritual death. That was our condition. We dwelt in a state of no gospel, no salvation, no light. But then he who at first in Genesis 1 said, let there be light, spoke that word to our hearts. Let there be light. Who do you think brought you light to see the things of God? the light bringer, your great high priest did. He brought you out of the darkness of error into the truth, the darkness of death into the life. He did that. Secondly, his name means wealthy or rich. The riches of God's grace belong to him. The riches of God's mercies. We were listening to some preacher the other day, and he talked about how rich we are. He said, "Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills beside." Well, that's true. But I wouldn't advise you go up there and get one of them cows and slaughter it. Take it to a butcher and tell him, "Cut this up for you. My Father owns it." Listen, the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus far outweigh everything this world has to offer. We have the riches of God's salvation. We have the riches of His grace. The riches of His mercy. And then His name means one who is fluent. That is a ready spokesman, one who speaks. Is He not called the Word? He's very fluent in the gospel. And that's a language you did not understand until this light bringer, who is rich in mercy, came to you, God's spokesman to you. And he taught you the gospel. You remember that when the Lord told Moses, "I've got a job for you, go speak for me." Moses said, I can't talk. Get Aaron. He's a good talker. Well, let me tell you something. Our Lord Jesus, He is God's spokesman to us. And His name means, Aaron's name means, very high. He's been highly exalted. Exalted above everyone and everything. He sits at the right hand of God. You think of it, Aaron and his sons, they were chosen together. That passage in Exodus chapter 28, verse 1, "Take Aaron and his sons." They were chosen together. We were chosen together. Christ was God's first choice, and we were chosen in Him. And you know, the priesthood, the boys, the sons, they were robed with the same robe as the high priest, the basic garment, which was a garment of white. Clothed with the same garment. I know the high priest had his exceptional garments, which we'll go into another time. But his basic garment that he was dressed in on the Day of Atonement, same garments his sons were dressed in. We're robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Absolutely astounding. And then the priests. Let me give you their names quickly. Nadab, that's the oldest son. His name means willingly. Doesn't that speak of our Savior's sufferings? He willingly laid down His life for us. His name also means generous. Surely there's none so generous as our Savior. What did He give to save us? Not silver or gold. Something much more valuable. Himself. Nadab also means noble one. Noble one. Certainly, Nadab did not live up to the meaning of his name, for he was very unnoble when he burned incense with coals taken from strange fire, and God killed him on the spot, him and his brother Abihu. But his name does mean noble one. There's none more noble than our Savior. And you know, as I think about it, his name pictures us We have been brought willingly to believe on the Lord Jesus. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You know what? The Lord makes us generous. I'll tell you what grace does. Grace opens up the heart, and grace opens up the hand to give. The heart to love, the hand to give. And we're nobility. We're nobility. We're the children of God. Abihu, his name means, my Father is he. God is our Father. Our Lord Jesus, he was hated by the Jews because he told them in John chapter 5, the passage that y'all's special song was written based upon, the man that was beside the well, beside the water rather, that he'd been there lame 38 years. Our Lord healed him, did it on the Sabbath day. That irritated the Jews. And then he told him, he said, well, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. And they therefore sought the more to kill him. Not only because he had broken the Sabbath in their opinion, but he said that God was his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. God is his Father. He's the everlasting Son of the everlasting Father. And God is our Father. God is our Father. And I'll tell you something else about Abihu. His name means a worshiper. Now, he with his brother, they were both killed by God. But his name means one who truly worships. Paul says we're the true people of God. We're the circumcision which worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. And then Eleazar. Eleazar is the one that he would become the high priest when Moses stripped Aaron of his high priestly garments up on the mountain. They were given to Eleazar. He would become the high priest. His name means God is our helper. God is our helper. He is our strength. He is our shield. And then Ithamar, his name means fruitful. Our Lord Jesus, he's the fruitful vine. He bears many sons to glory. And we bear fruit for the glory of God. I say we bear it. It's the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? People say they're fruit inspectors. Well, this is the kind of fruit, much of which can't be seen. It's in the heart. Thank God we have a representative. Let me give you this and I'll quit. Anytime God deals with a group of people, he deals with them through a representative. That's right, isn't it, Alan? He deals with them through a representative. Adam. God dealt with that representative man who stood in the stead of all of the human race. Our Lord Jesus in the covenant of grace. He was our representative. He stood for us. He represented us. Aaron, he was the representative of all of Israel when he went in to do business with God. One man. One man. You say, well, that isn't fair. I'll let you take that up with the Lord, if you dare. Let the potsherds of the earth argue with and fuss with the potsherds of the earth. I wouldn't do it with the Lord if I was you. And God dealt with Aaron. God received the sacrifice from Aaron on the behalf of all of Israel. And our God receives us through one representative man. the God-man Christ Jesus, and you come to God by Him, you'll be received. Got God's word on that. But if you try to come any other way than by this representative man, you say, well, I'm going to step out on my own. You're just stepping out into hell is what you're doing. You're stepping out into a certain death. You better come to God that way He appointed. The new and living way. Jesus Christ crucified, buried, risen again, and ascended. Aaron and his sons. Let's sing a closing song. 450. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful as we